Attention, the material you are listening to is
radioactive.
Well, this kind of feeling, it don't happen every day. It's a special time of year, like when the sun is hot and the truck road is steady. That's when masquerade is ready.
Hola, bienvenidos al podcast de septiembre. Soy Anne Kane.
Et je m'appelle Sarah Rosenthal. This month's theme is world travel. But before we jump into that, we have an update.
Over the summer, 8 new high schoolers became official members of the Radioactive team.
They each produced a story from start to finish and produced a daily podcast. You can hear all their work online at kuow.org/radioactive. All right, time to travel.
Where is the farthest you've been, Sarah?
Let's see. The farthest I've been is, I think, to Europe. I took a trip around France and Italy primarily. Had a layover in London, so I can say technically I've been to London, but I don't think it really qualifies.
Not really.
France is my favorite country, though. France is beautiful.
Why?
Because I just think the language and the culture is just gorgeous. I think there's just something very elegant and very organic about French culture, and their philosophy of food very much matches my own, which I think is delightful.
That's,
and of course, I love
thing.
Speaking French. Je parle français alors. Car il est la langue meilleure en tout le monde.
Translation?
That means French is the best language in the world. How far away have you been?
Barbados is the farthest I've been.
What's it like over there?
It's beautiful, and it's sunny all the time.
Oh, God. Bring some of that to Seattle.
I'm trying. I'm working on it.
All right. Well, today we have three delightful stories for all of you lovely listeners. I just said your line.
So I'll say yours. One from India, one from Barbados, and one from Belgium, to be specific. We're covering all corners of the world. We'll start with Belgium.
The Kingdom of Belgium, as it's formerly known, is a predominantly Roman Catholic nation that sits right on top of France.
They're known for their beer and chocolate and, of course, their waffles.
Okay, if you had to choose one of those three to have for the rest of your life, beer, chocolate, or waffles, you can only have one.
Oh my gosh.
What is it?
Chocolate waffles.
Chocolate waffles?
Chocolate waffles.
Loophole. Very good. Very creative. I like how you think. Excellent job. Now, Camilla Rask was born in Seattle. She moved to Belgium when she was 11 and lived there until she was 16.
I'm pretty sure she was excited about the waffles.
Yeah, I bet she was. Camilla's move to Belgium was temporary, but the change in her worldview is permanent. Radioactive's Rachel Lam has more.
Did you just type in 127? Yeah. I knew you would do that.
Camilla Rask is one of my best friends. She is 5'7" with a Cheshire Cat smile. Camilla is Swedish and has blue-green eyes, light brown hair. When she and I were small, we used to sneak out of my house, dressed all in black, at 2 a.m., pretending we were spies, two unsupervised 8-year-olds running around Fremont. But this isn't a story about two best friends. We begin 5 years ago.
I remember my parents explaining it to me and my brother and thinking it was a different street in the neighborhood that we lived in. And then they explained to us that no, it was in Europe, across the seas.
Her mother had taken a job and their entire family would be moving to Belgium. Mother, father, brother, Chester the cat, and Camilla. All to another continent. For at least her entire middle school career.
And it kind of hits, not even on the plane ride, but when you get there, you realize you're not in the same place as you were before.
Camilla was gone. I was crushed. I was still in Kansas. My Dorothy had gone to Brussels. And she found herself in an utterly discombobulating situation. Brussels had two languages, Dutch and French, but she didn't speak either.
It's quite interesting because it's kind of like if you talk English to the French, they're a little bit offended. If you talk English to the Dutch, they're fine with it.
The language barrier was hard, but what was even harder was the people. They dressed differently, they acted differently, they talked differently. Belgium was more formal. It was more foreign. It was foreign.
You're not really friends with your neighbors. If you move in, you know, it's not like you go and bring them cookies or something. It's just kind of like, oh, they moved in, you know, whatever. But you just kind of have to learn that that's the customs here and it's nothing against you.
So Camilla spent the next 5 years of her life learning. She went to France.
Paris, we could drive there in a few hours or so, maybe half a day.
And Spain?
I really liked Spain. The food there for me was great.
And Jordan and Greece, Italy, the UK, Germany, Vatican City, Portugal, the Netherlands. She went to Norway and Sweden, Denmark and Turkey. Camilla went everywhere, the Czech Republic, Luxembourg, you name it. All the places affected her, and the stay in Belgium really expanded her mind.
I think I realized how little I knew about being international. And I didn't think I was unworldly. I didn't think I was just reliant on one culture. But I've realized now, meeting the different people and seeing what else there is, things that I thought just stayed the same everywhere, it turns out they don't.
Camilla went to an international school. The people attending were from all over the world. The different cultures jumped out at her from the lockers and lunches, accents and accessories. Three of her new best friends were from England, Spain, and Japan. At the end of seventh grade, I went to visit Camilla. Some of the things were the same. Chester the cat, for example. Other things were new. Her family took me everywhere. I went to chocolate shops and the Magritte Museum. When the Tour de France came through Brussels, Camilla and I walked from her house to the sidelines. She liked Belgium. She really did. Especially the food.
The waffle trucks. I love the waffle trucks. Yeah, they're these trucks. They drive around town. They'll park in a park or something like that. The waffles are different. You don't have maple syrup, none of that. They're dough, and they've got these little chunks of sugar in them, and when you bake them, they melt, and they're really good. They're really yummy.
Belgium was their home for 5 years.
It's different than traveling places, because traveling, as no matter how hard you try, you always kind of get into the tourist district. But meeting the people from those countries, that gave you a lot of the culture.
They always knew it was coming. Camilla and her family left Brussels this summer. She'll miss her Spanish, English, and Japanese friends. She'll miss the international school and even some of the culture. But it was a trade-off. Seattle's good too.
I like it here. It's a lot more informal. It's more welcoming, I think. And people definitely talk to you more. You know, you have conversations when you're buying your groceries. You know, if you're buying coffee, they'll ask how your day was. And so that's been nice.
There are a couple things, though, that Seattle doesn't have and Brussels did.
For teens, you're viewed as more of adults than you are here. I think you're treated as, you're more responsible, which can sometimes suck, but you also have more things that you're allowed to do. And I think it's something that I hadn't really noticed until I got back here, and I realized that people are treating me as more of a kid than I was used to.
Camilla is rediscovering Seattle. I imagine it's a bit like if the lights are off at night and you're in your room, but all the familiar objects are shrouded, so you have to feel around, and eventually you'll find the light switch and turn it back on. So eventually, Camilla will feel at home in Seattle, even if it takes a couple years. But is Seattle still her city?
I mean, I'm definitely from Seattle, right? I was born here and everything. But it's interesting. They have a name for people who move generally more often than I do, and they're called third culture kids. So people, not necessarily, they don't really know where they're from, but they've experienced so many different cultures.
Living abroad has actually made Camilla want to move again.
It really opens up your mind, especially if you're moving into a different culture, because you really get time to learn about the people and learn about the differences between the culture you're living in and your home culture.
I hope Camilla stays, though. And maybe this was a story about two best friends after all. For Radioactive, this is Rachel Long.
I don't know, I feel like I don't really have anything else.
What do we travel for?
Why? Why do you travel?
Because mom made us.
No, because we want to see new places.
No, because mom made us travel.
We want to see what it's like.
Face it, mom made us. Jesi vora blesava, ubio te bro Jesi li se zasjetila milovanja mo Prisa noći zbog te pako tarave preska Tražio i tražio budo srca tvoj
That was a Belgian band called Gorki, G-O-R-K-I. They kind of sound like the Ramones, don't they?
A little. Now we're going to fly over to India to hear a story about a girl who flew to America.
India, in case you don't already know, is located in southern Asia and is home to the Taj Mahal, Bollywood, and the infamous Kama Sutra.
This May, 13-year-old Ananya Shankar left her home in Chennai, India, to visit her aunt, uncle, and cousins in the U.S. She dealt with feeling self-conscious in a country where she stood out because of her skin color. Radioactive's Kamina Shastri has more.
My cousin Ananya Shankar is very lively. She has black, naturally wavy hair, and her dreamy eyes are set in an expressive oval face. We're standing next to the gum wall at Pike Place Market. There's chewed gum hanging everywhere. Ananya thinks this is the grossest place in the world.
Oh my god! Yuck!
For everything else, she has one word.
It's amazing! Oh my god! It's amazing!
Ananya has been wanting to come to the United States for the past 4 years. It's because...
As in, all my friends went to the U.S. and they came back with a lot of goodies, and I've seen movies, and I kind of like how it is, so I thought I wanted to come to the U.S.
People praised the U.S. so much, it was like the best place on earth. She thought that maybe someday she could study at an American university. So when she had the chance to visit me in Seattle, Ananya was thrilled. Thrilled and a bit anxious. She was afraid that her dark skin would make her stand out.
I was scared they might be racist, so at least, even though I was not white skin, I kind of wanted to look good so that they don't make me feel bad.
She wanted to look good, so she dressed to assimilate. She always left her hair loose because she noticed more girls here left their hair that way. One Saturday in June, her idolization of the U.S. was tested. Ananya, my mom, my dad, my brother, and our grandmother were sightseeing around Seattle's University District. They stopped at the local post office for a quick errand, but they couldn't find the entrance and parked in the back. They didn't realize it was illegal.
Suddenly, this man just turned up from inside the building, from the back. When he came to the car, he was smiling and he showed his card.
He was the manager. My grandmother sat in the passenger seat, dressed in a crisp sari. He came up beside her, and then he screamed.
His, like, smiling face just turned into, like, a red, small, angry face. He just started screaming. He was like, "You cannot park here! Get out of my property right now!"
My mom says that it was unforgettable.
It's not something which you can forget it, because that anger energy that came from him was really intense. I've never experienced that in my life.
They think that first the manager saw the car, and that only after he came closer did he see the people inside.
For him suddenly to change, the only thing that comes to my mind is that looking at a brown skin, and obviously, you know, we didn't look white.
It's just so obvious that he was being racist.
Another employee who saw the exchange apologized. Even then, the rest of the day was tainted by the residue of that unpleasant incident. My mom recalls,
I think later, as we were walking in the University of Washington, that campus, she was asking me, is this common in this country? Something like that. So I asked her, knowing this, having seen this, would you like to come and study here? She said, I'll have to think about it. Previously, she was all into about coming to US for her studies. So obviously, it seemed to have... changed her perspective a little bit.
But Ananya says it didn't change her view that much.
Then I kind of felt sad that someone had to do something like this. I had a lot of good reactions about the U.S. There was just one thing against it.
1 month later, Ananya's back in India. And now it's my turn to visit her. We're standing on the balcony of our grandmother's third-story apartment. The night air is cool, and the moon peeks through the trees.
That I was a little conscious when I was going on the roads, and because I'm from a new place and I was a little scared. But here, just India, I'm used to this, so I'm just my old self, like normally, and I'm not conscious at all.
In India, Ananya blends in. She doesn't have to worry about her hair. She doesn't have to worry about being treated by the color of her skin. She's just herself.
I really, really love the U.S. and on a long term, I'm sure I'm going to yeah, I prefer India. I don't know why. I really don't know why, but I'm happy we moved back to India.
For Radioactive, I'm Kamna Shastri.
That sounded kind of different from most Indian music I've heard.
This song is from a film called I Have Found It. And this film is from Tamil Nadu.
Excellent. All right, let's take a trip to the sunny island of Barbados.
Yep. As I said earlier, I visited my family in Barbados this summer for the first time ever.
How was it?
It was great.
Were you meeting your family for the first time?
It was, yes, for the first time. It was this family in Barbados. I had never met them before. It was a study abroad, so I was technically studying, but at the same time, it was Barbados. So
technically studying.
I was studying.
In Barbados.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. All right. Well, you might not know where Barbados is, but Barbados probably knows where you are. It's the easternmost island in the Caribbean chain and is one of the most educated nations in the world, boasting a 99% literacy rate. It's also the birthplace of pop singer Rihanna and hip-hop wonder Grandmaster Flash.
And you probably don't know this either, but the world's best all-around cricket player ever, Sir Garfield Silvers, was a Bajan.
That's what you call someone who lives in Barbados, by the way. A Bajan.
Right.
So, when you went to Barbados, you took a trip to a place called Chalky Mount.
I did.
Right? And learned about the pottery industry and how the art was almost lost in the region. Can we hear the story?
Sure. The view from Chalky Mount is spectacular. All around is a sweeping forest landscape of intense green, dotted with the small square houses that are iconic in Barbados. To one side, the view opens out to the dark blue of the Atlantic Ocean. Here, as everywhere on the island, the winds are constantly blowing. But inside Highland Pottery, the air is still. The shelves are crowded with brightly colored mugs, pots, and cups. The walls are adorned with life-size seahorses, miniature flying fish, and schools of sea turtles. Their clay bodies are all glazed with deep blues, sea greens, and sun yellows. Winston Paul sits at the potter's wheel with a lump of clay ready to be shaped.
Okay, this is what it looks like in its raw form when it is dug from the earth. And it can be found all around this area here, which is known as Chalky Mount. What we do is get
the
one
soft-spoken man is the owner of this studio. Years of throwing pots have given him a muscular build. At school, he was always interested in arts and crafts. His relative introduced him to a friend who was working as a potter. He came to watch and took the trade up from there. He and his wife can make up to 300 pieces a day, depending on the size. His wife makes the handmade pieces that decorate the walls. Winston makes the larger pieces, using the wheel. Some of the pieces are modeled after pots used during the early history of the island, way before we had any of our modern appliances. The Connery jar is one of these.
Before they had refrigerators, they store meat in that. They would actually salt the meat and put it in those jars to preserve them.
The coal pot was used before there were any stoves on the island.
It was an old-time traditional pot, which is known as a coal pot. Before they had any stoves in the island, this is what they actually cook on. They'd actually place the charcoal in the center.
These pots are still used on Friday nights at the Fish Fry in Oystens, a fishing village on the island. Finally, the monkey pot.
Well, the monkey pot is an old-time traditional pot which was actually used before they had any refrigerators in the island.
The pot is only fired once, leaving the clay porous. The hot water evaporates through the pot, taking the heat with it. This cools the remaining water down, making the pot perfect for storing water in hot climates. These monkey pots can stand as tall as 2 feet high. Winston enjoys throwing these larger pieces because he feels they present a good challenge.
As I say, when you're really making big pieces, huge pieces, that's where you actually have the challenge. Yeah. But sometimes to make a big piece and pull it all up here and thing, and then it just collapses or it thing on you, you know. So it takes a lot of, you know, more talent and different things to make big pieces like that.
Chalky Mount is the historical center for pottery in Barbados, but it was once a dying craft.
When it started to die out and such, they thought it was too much a good craft to actually let die. So they brought in an American professor to actually teach one or two of the guys that was in the area that was interested in it.
The industry was revived, and now there are three studios in Chalky Mount. This area attracts tourists from all over the world who come to look at and purchase pottery. Today, my sister and I pick out pieces to take back home with us. Winston wraps them up. And then we step back outside to the view from Chalky Mount. For Radioactive, I'm Anne Kane. Well, this kind of feeling. That was Biggie Irie's song, Need a Rhythm. This type of music is called soca, and they play it during a crop over every year, and crop over is the annual end of summer festival in Barbados.
Ooh, that sounds like fun.
It was fun.
Well, I like the song, so if that's any indication, the festival must be a good time.
Mm, it is.
That concludes our trip around the world, folks. Time to fly back home.
But before we fly off, much thanks to Jenny Asarno and Lila Katayev, our wonderful program producers.
If you liked what you heard and want to hear more, be sure to check us out at kuow.org/radioactive.
And on Facebook, search Radioactive Youth Media.
Thanks for taking this journey with us. We hope we expanded your horizons, just a little bit.
For Radioactive, Soy Anne Kane.
Et je suis Sarah Rosenthal.